I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We want to begin reading with verse 36 and read through verse 40. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 40. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. We're thankful that You're all-wise and all-powerful, and we're thankful that Thou hast known from even before the foundation of the world every problem that we would ever have. We're thankful for the peace in knowing that our Father cares for us and He's going to help us, and even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because You are with us. Help us, Lord, to always feel Your presence with us. We thank You again for the privilege of prayer, to be able to commune with Thee as friend with friend. And as Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking You to fill us all with Thy Holy Spirit, that we might be able to hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for preserving Thy word and for inspiring it to be written. And we thank You for the way that You have taught us in Your word what You have done for us, what You are doing, and what You shall do. And You've taught us as Your children how we are to live here in this world. So help us, Lord, to follow Your word in every way in our lives. Bless every home that's here, each family that's represented, and every individual here. Be with all of Your children the world over. Bless every congregation, wherever they're assembled together in Thy name in this hour. Bless the men of God to preach the word of God in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And bless each one that they might rightly divide Thy word of truth. Teach us now and instruct us. And Lord, we also ask Your blessings on all those that are sick and afflicted, those that stand in special need of Thy help. We pray that Thou, as the great physician who has all power, that You would touch their bodies and lift them up. We also ask You to bless the families of those who are sick, that You would give them the strength and grace and patience that they need as they care for those that they love. Bless all those who are traveling and all those who have special burdens and problems. Bless us now in this hour, and we'll be careful to endeavor to give Thee and Thee alone the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. We also ask Thy blessings on Brother Robert in the nursing home this afternoon. Bless him to preach Thy word. And bless us to rejoice together, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. The Word of God says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, please remember the setting here. Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried. And most of them do not even know. They have not seen Him. Most of these people have not seen Him at all since His resurrection. And this is one of the first times that He's going to appear before a group of His disciples. And as He comes to them, the first words that come out of His mouth, the first words that He says is, "Peace be unto you." Isn't that a great blessing? To know that God would have us be filled with peace. "Peace be unto you." Then He says in verse 37, "But they were terrified." Well, I would have been also. They thought Jesus was crucified. And now they're looking at someone that looks just like Jesus. And so they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Verse 38 says, "And He said unto them," that is Jesus, "said to His disciples, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see Me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and his feet. I want us to this morning to think about, and I find great joy from time to time just concentrating on various aspects of Jesus. You remember how John the Baptist, when Jesus first began to come, you remember what John the Baptist said? Behold what? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. I love to see Jesus as the Lamb of God. I love to see Jesus as the King of kings and Lord of lords. I love to see Jesus in all the different ways that the Word of God describes Jesus. I love to see Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. I love to see Jesus as my friend. I love to see Jesus as my elder brother. I love to see Jesus. I love to behold Jesus. And I want you to remember that just before he told them, now right now he's not just saying, look at me in all these different aspects that I've just mentioned to you, but he's saying, behold something more specific than just looking at all of me. He says, behold what? Behold my hands and my feet. You look not just at the whole man, but I'm telling you, Jesus said here, behold my hands and my feet. And brethren, I love to think about beholding the hands and the feet of Jesus. There is great joy and great peace that floods our souls when we can think about the hands and the feet of Jesus. What was the feeling of the disciples of Christ when Jesus first came to them right here? What was their feeling? They were what? What's the two words that are used? They were fearful. They were frightened. They were terrified. And Jesus asked a question to them. I want you to notice in verse 38. He said to them, why are ye troubled? Now, brethren, is there anybody here that, don't raise your hand, but is there anybody here that's troubled about anything? I've heard some of the prayers of some of the brethren, and I know that there are some who are troubled. I know some of you, and I know some that are not even able to be here this morning, that are troubled about many things. And probably everybody here during this past week, at some point during this past week, you might have been troubled. But you need to remember that Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be what? Let not your heart be troubled. We're not supposed to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If we believe in Christ and we trust in Christ, then our heart will not be what? We will not be troubled. We will not be disturbed and upset. And so Jesus right here, as he appears to these people, he says, why are ye troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? There were bad thoughts that were arising in their hearts. So he says, why are you troubled and why do bad thoughts arise in your hearts? And that's the point. It's at that point that he says, behold my hands and my feet. I believe with all of my heart that when you are troubled, if you will behold the hands and the feet of Jesus, I believe that you will feel the peace of God. You will feel great peace in your soul about anything that might ever trouble you if you will right then, while you are troubled, don't just behold the Lamb of God, but get more specific and look at His hands and look at His feet. Now what was there? If you had been there and you had been looking at His hands and His feet, what is it that would have stood out that you saw when you looked at His hands and His feet? You'll see the holes in His hands and in His feet right then. You would see the holes in His hands and in His feet. In other words, Jesus has just risen from the dead, and you remember how Thomas was not with the apostles right here. And later when Thomas finally hears that Jesus is risen from the dead, what did Thomas say? He said, unless I can put my hand in his side, I will not believe that it is the Christ. So Jesus said, go ahead, put your hand in my side. Brethren, I believe that there were nail holes still in his hands, and there were nail holes still in his feet when he appears to them right here, and he says, behold my hands and my feet. Now, brethren, there are all kinds of reasons that we need to behold his hands and his feet. There are all kinds of thoughts that ought to flood our soul when we behold his hands and his feet. And I would say first and foremost, above everything else, the reason that we need to behold his hands and his feet and the joy that ought to flood our soul because we look at his hands and his feet, the reason we ought to be so happy is because I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that Jesus did die for you on the cross? If you know that Jesus died for you on the cross, you know that you have been saved from your sins. And if you know that you've been saved from your sins, and listen, brethren, there are times that people do not know that Jesus has died for them on the cross. There are times that people do not realize, they do not realize what was accomplished by Jesus dying on the cross. They do not know that he finished the work that he came to do. If you don't believe in eternal security, and if you don't know that if Jesus died for you, then you are saved from your sins, your soul is going to be troubled. And so Jesus says to these people, why are you troubled? And if you're troubled because you're worried about the future, you need to understand one day, you're going home to be with the Lord forever. Whatever happens in this world, brethren, your life is short on this earth. And one day you're going home to glory, and the reason you're going to glory, and the reason you're going to heaven, the reason that you're saved is because of Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary. And if you look at his hands and look at his feet, you'll have no fear about your eternity because you know Jesus has saved you from your sins. Does that do you good to look at his hands and his feet? If you look at those holes and you think about Jesus paid it all. We sing that song sometimes. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it white as snow. When I look at his hands and his feet, and the devil begins to remind me, listen carefully. There are times that the devil reminds me of sin in my life in days gone by. There are times that the devil brings it before my mind and my soul, and I think about what I have done against my Lord and my Savior. And I think about sins way back in my past, and I think about what I have done to Jesus. But listen, brethren, if I look at his hands and his feet, I'll remember and I'll realize Jesus has paid for those sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I'll just look at his hands and his feet, I'm going to feel good in spite of my wretchedness. Do you see? I'm going to feel good, not because I'm good. I'm going to feel good because I know Jesus has paid for my sins. And that's a great blessing. There are many people that are worried about their sins and what they need to do. Why? What's the question Jesus said? Why are ye troubled? And the second thing he said is, why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Did you know the devil can cause thoughts to come up in your mind and in your heart? The devil can. I have no doubt of that. The devil can cause thoughts to come up in your heart. And every time they do, what's Jesus say you're supposed to do? As soon as he said, why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your heart? The next thing he says is, just behold my hands and my feet. Look right there. And every time you're troubled, if you'll look at his hands and his feet, you'll find peace in your soul. Peace be unto you, he said. Another reason that I find great peace in my soul when I look at His hands and His feet is not only because I have been saved from my sins, and I'm reminded of that when I look at His hands and I look at His feet, but also when I look at His hands and I look at His feet, and I remember that this happened after He was crucified, after He has saved me from my sins, I know that Jesus rose from the dead. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that? Jesus, who was crucified for my sins, He was nailed to the cross, He did die on the cross, and He was placed in that tomb. Jesus arose from the dead. And that causes me to not worry about my child or my daddy or anyone else that I'm around when they're placed in the tomb. I have no fear of that body being put down in the dust of the ground. Why? Why am I not troubled? Why do I not? Now, my sister and I are different. She likes to go to the graveside. I don't go. I just don't go. It makes me depressed to go to the graveside. It might make her feel better, but my point is, my son and my daddy are not in that graveyard. They're with Jesus right now. Now, one day Jesus is coming back to this earth. Jesus rose from the dead. And you go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you're going to find that the Word of God says that we ought not to be troubled about those that are dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 says that we should not sorrow as others who have no hope when people die. The book of Proverbs tells us that the day of one's death is better than the day of their birth. There are so many scriptures that give us peace if we just believe what Jesus said. And when I behold His hands and His feet, when I think about He was crucified and He did die, but now I behold His hands and His feet and He is the risen Lord, what do I know? I know He rose from the dead, and according to the Word of God, because He rose, one day my body is going to be raised from the dead. There are families who have sons that have been killed on foreign battlefields. There are people who have been, there are men and women who have lost their loved ones and they don't have them and don't have any remains to bury. There are prisoners of war that have never been located again. My point, brethren, is that you and I have a reason to rejoice in the fact that one day our bodies, just like Jesus' body right here, Jesus right here, we see the risen Lord. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Praise God that He arose, and praise God that we too are going to be raised from the dead. And when I look at His hands and His feet, I think about that He was risen, and I'm going to be raised from the dead also. And you are in all of God's people, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, all redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when I look at His hands and His feet, I think about the blood that poured out of those holes that was shed for my sins. And when I look at His hands and His feet, I think about He was risen at this point in time, and we too are going to be raised from the dead. Now, as you go through the Word of God, you'll find a number of times that people, we're going to concentrate right now on the feet. We may concentrate later on the hands. What do you think about, just somebody before we leave the hands and the feet, because we're going to concentrate on the feet. But what do you think about when you behold the hands of Jesus besides His crucifixion and besides His resurrection? What else do you think of when you behold His hands? Good gracious. All of y'all we'll never finish this. You understand that. One person said, I think of Jesus praying. How many of you have ever seen some little ceramic things of praying hands? Just to remind you to pray. How many of you put your hands together when you pray? There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. We have one member of the church that doesn't close his eyes, and I better understand why he doesn't close his eyes. And I've even tried praying with my eyes open, but I have to close my eyes when I pray. I don't always put my hands together, but sometimes I do put my hands together. Sometimes I need, listen, the hands of Jesus. Do you think Jesus had wonderful hands? Do you know a lot about hands? Sister Pam, can you think you could close your eyes and identify the hands of your mama in this room?
I think so too. The hands are wonderful. My daddy's hands and his feet, especially his feet. I washed his feet many, many times in communion service. And I washed his feet as he laid in the nursing home. And as I would wash his feet, I would think about where all those feet have been. He fought in World War II. He was in the front lines of combat for 27 months. On the front lines of combat. He was in invasions where they went. He was the first ones to go running out of those boats onto the shore. And I thought about those feet and all the different places that those feet have been. I thought about those feet that had carried me when I was small. How many of you remember when you were small being in the back seat of the car asleep when you get home sometimes, and you would pretend like you weren't really asleep, but you would pretend like you were asleep so that what? So that your mama and daddy would carry you in. Oh, how many times I could remember my daddy picking me up and putting me up on his shoulder and carrying me in. I'm talking about I was up pretty good size. And I can remember the way it smelled, the way his shoulder smelled. I remember the aroma. I remember the feeling of his shoulder. I'm telling you, brethren, hands and feet are important. The hands of Jesus. Think about how many people were touched by the hands of Jesus. Think about how many people. We have a number of psalms. Oh, the touch of his hand on mine. There's grace and power in the trying hour with the touch of his hand on mine. Have you ever felt the hand of Jesus? Have you ever felt the feet of Jesus? Did you know that we can... When I think about the feet of Jesus, when I think about the hands of Jesus, I think about all the things he did, all the works he did while he was here on this earth. And I think about the feet of Jesus, I think about everywhere he went and all the places that he walked. And that's the main way he got around, was by walking. He didn't have a car. He didn't have horses. He was a poor man, and he walked most every place that he went. And I think about those precious feet of Jesus that loved people so much that he was willing to walk in the heat and in the storms and in the rain. I think about the traveling of those feet of Jesus Christ. Go with me, please, back in your Bibles just a moment, still in the book of Luke. Back up to Luke chapter 7. And the Word of God tells us about a woman here. And listen, brethren, sometimes you're going to feel like you're a wretched sinner, just like this woman was. A wretched sinner. She was probably a prostitute. In Luke chapter 7, the Word of God says that this woman was clearly, publicly known as a wretched sinner. And this woman comes to Jesus and wouldn't even come up to his face. Can you believe that she wouldn't come to his face? Yeah, I can too. She was so ashamed, she just came up behind Jesus. She was like another woman that said, you know, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I'm not worthy. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You just say the word. Now this woman came up behind Jesus in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse, for the sake of time, we'll come down to verse 38. Luke chapter 7, verse 38. The Word of God says that this woman who was... No, let me back up to verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. The Word of God says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him. Do you see that? Stood at his feet. Where was she standing? At his feet. And which side of him was she on? On the behind side. She stood at his feet behind him weeping. Let me tell you, brethren, if you know what a sinner you are and you get close to Jesus, you're going to weep because you know you're a sinner and you don't deserve to be in his presence. And this woman came up behind Jesus and she's at his feet and she's weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Did she clearly see the feet of Jesus? Did she see the feet of Jesus? She washed his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them. She anointed his feet with ointment. Brethren, this woman manifested a tremendous amount of humility and of love for Jesus Christ. And brethren, I find, you know what I find at the feet of Jesus? I find in this situation, I find mercy. Mercy. Do you want mercy or do you want justice? Which one do you want Jesus to give you? You want mercy or do you want justice? I want mercy. And that's what this woman found at the feet of Jesus. If she had gotten justice, if this woman had gotten justice, she would have been cast into eternal hell. If you get justice, you will be cast into eternal hell. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how much you know about your Bible. Without mercy and without grace, you will spend eternity in hell. It's because of the amazing grace of God and the love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of what Jesus has done for you that you will be in eternal heaven. This woman had her sins forgiven her. The man, he began to think, and others in the household began to think, if this was really the Messiah, he would know this woman's a sinner. You remember that? He would know this woman's a sinner. Well, Jesus knew. He not only knew she was a sinner, he knew what they were thinking about. Now, that's pretty frightening, brethren. He knew what they were thinking. Do you want Jesus to know everything you're thinking? But does he know everything you're thinking? I don't want him to either. I don't want him to know what I'm thinking. But he knows everything I'm thinking. Come down to verse 40. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. This is after the man has thought about what a sinner the woman was. And she's down there washing Jesus' feet and drying his feet with her hair. She's at the feet of Jesus. She's wanting mercy. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most. You understand the analogy that Jesus gives? Here's one man. He owns a tremendous amount. Here's another man that owns a little amount. And the master says, you're all forgiven. Which one of them is going to love him the most? The implication is that the person that was forgiven most is going to love him the most. Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Had this woman been forgiven of a lot? Had this woman been forgiven of a lot? Had she probably been forgiven more of this man, Pharisee, whose name was Simon? Had she probably been forgiven of more sins than he? I think probably so. She had been forgiven of much more. Verse 44 says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Do you see the humility and the love? Do you see the mercy that this woman knew was manifested to her? She beheld. What was she looking at? She was looking at his feet. The next verse says, verse 46 says, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet. Over and over and over in this passage of Scripture, it's the feet of Jesus that are emphasized. She came up behind him at his feet. She washed his feet with her tears. She dried his feet with her hair. She anointed his feet. She wept. She kissed his feet. Can you behold that scene? Can you see the feet of Jesus right there? Can you see those feet like that woman saw the feet of Jesus? Would you like to have the privilege to fall at the feet of Jesus and to kiss his feet? Would you like to do that? I would. Now, there's some of you that I might not love that much, but there are some people. Are there some people that you would love enough and adore so much that you would be willing to kiss their feet? Yes, sir. I believe that with all my heart. That's how much this woman loved Jesus. Was enough to kiss his feet. Do you love Jesus that much? That much? Do you love Him enough to kiss His feet? To bow down before Him? Listen, Jesus said when He told us to wash one another's feet, He says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Now remember this. Everybody that thought you would kneel down and kiss the feet of Jesus, are you willing to kneel down and at least wash the feet of your brethren? If you're not, then don't deceive yourself into thinking that you would kiss the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So if you would kiss Jesus' feet, you will kneel down and wash the feet of your brethren. Come down to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The next chapter tells us about another man. This woman in Luke chapter 7, was she a sinner? Was she a sinner? Did she look at the feet of Jesus? Indeed she did. Luke chapter 8 tells us about the Gadarenes starting in verse 26. You remember when they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes? You remember there was a wild man there that was possessed with many demons. And the man was wild and naked and lived in the tombs. And Jesus came and touched him and healed him and drove those evil spirits out of him. And those evil spirits went into some swine that fell off into water and were drowned. But that man was healed by Jesus, wasn't he? Has Jesus done the same for you that He did for this Gadarene man? Has Jesus ever driven evil out of your heart and your mind and your soul? Have evil spirits ever been leaving you because of the voice of Jesus Christ? They have me, brethren. They have me. And verse 35 says, then, this is Luke 8, verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man that was full of demons, all those demons are gone. And this man is sitting where? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what? You behold, what does Jesus say? Going back to Luke 24, what does He say? Two things. He asks two questions. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your mind and in your heart? Why are these thoughts arising? He says, just behold my hands and my feet, and you will no longer be troubled. Did you know that? When you're troubled about big problems, was this a big problem this man had? Is Jesus able to solve big problems? Do you think Jesus is just as powerful today as He was right here with this Gadarene? And when you're plagued with evil spirits, when you have evil thoughts in your soul, when you're plagued with depression and despondency, you know what you need to do? You need to look, behold, the hands and the feet of Jesus. And you need to sit at His feet because it's at His feet that you'll find rest for your soul. Luke chapter 10, there were two women. You tell me their names. Luke chapter 10, the last three or four verses, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Who were those two women there in Luke chapter 10? That's right. So tell me. Martha and Mary, that's right. Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary. And you remember how Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and she got mad because Mary was, what was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. What was she doing at the feet of Jesus? She was learning from Jesus. She was hearing the Word of God. You know what you do when you look at the feet of Jesus, when you sit at the feet of Jesus? One of the things you'll do is you'll learn from God. Did you know that every time you pick up the Bible, every time you start to read the Word of God, you know what you need to behold? Before you ever look at the words in the book, you know what you need to behold first? You need to look at His what? Look at His hands and His what? And His feet. You need to fall down on your face and you need to say, Jesus, I'm here at Your feet. I'm at Your feet now. I'm at Your feet. Because I need You to teach me from Your Word. I can't understand what's in the Word of God unless I first behold His hands and His feet. When I get down at Jesus' feet, Jesus will show me the truth, and He'll lift me up. I hope that God will help all of us this morning to realize what a blessing it is. Listen carefully in closing. Listen carefully in closing. Did you know that you cannot behold the hands and the feet of Jesus without the eye of faith? Is there anybody here that has seen Jesus in the flesh? Not a one. Now, most of the people we're talking about, they saw Jesus in the flesh. They saw His feet in the flesh. But I'm telling you that I can look all the way back to Calvary. In fact, I can look back 6,000 years ago, and I can see the feet and the hands of Jesus when He created this world. Jesus created this world. And I can look back 2,000 years ago, and I can see Jesus. When that little baby was born, I see His little feet in the manger. I see Him coming forth from a virgin Mary. Those little feet that came out. And I see Jesus when He was 12 years old walking to the temple and confounding the doctors and nurses. And I see Jesus when He began to preach the Word of God and everybody was falling at His feet. And I see in the life of Jesus that here's another scripture. The scripture says that in Matthew chapter 15 that they brought all those who were sick and the blind and the lame, and they cast all of them at His feet. And the scripture says, and He healed them all. We've got some people that need healing, don't we? Can Jesus heal them? Amen is right. May God help us to behold His hands and His feet, because then our soul will not be troubled, is my prayer for Christ's sake.